All right, good morning and welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church. We are here in Pearland, Texas, the most beautiful area in the world, and we have the most beautiful people. We're just glad that you're here. We're going to sing a few songs. If you need coffee, get coffee at home. If you need coffee here, go ahead and grab it. I made three pots back there, so that's ready to go for you. I'm glad you're all here. You ready to have a good day? I love the weather this morning. Wasn't that awesome? Nice fall weather. The drizzle kind of threw me for a loop, but we're going to sing some, and I think all of these this morning are things that we know, and we'll start off like we always do, toe-tapping. When the morning comes, trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to the blessed promised land. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God gather home, we will tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. The impatient hidden snares often take us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed for some thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God gather, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God gather home, we will tell the story how we overcome. We will understand it better by and by.
Oh, if you hear the Baptists, we're actually clapping. You can tell because they're... wasn't right on me.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansion, bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. One day I'm rejoicing that we'll be.
Get it going. There we go. Now you're good. Go. Oh.
Onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty will behold. The pearly gates will open. We shall tread streets of gold. With we all get to heaven. One day of rejoicing that will be.
Okay, I've had my exercise. Okay, y'all having fun?
Yeah. Oh.
Let's slow it down before we lose a few of you. What's wrong?
Go up.
Go up what?
His voice up.
Speak louder?
Yeah.
I gotta sing louder? Oh, boy.
Rock of ages, plan for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flows be of sin.
announcements we want to share with you. First of all, Saturday night, we have our annual trunk and treat, but it's going to be different this year. It's a COVID version of the trunk and treat. Well, thank you everybody that gave for the candy. And we have, I don't know how many, Annie, how many pieces of candy is in the other room? Over 5,000 pieces of candy. So we have 500 bags of it, actually, the first 500 cars that come through. But it's going to be a drive-through, and it's going to be Saturday, October 31st, 5:30. We need you here about 45 minutes early, maybe, to help us set up if you want to come and be a part of it, understanding that there's going to be people just in their cars. It will not be like normal. You get to see all the kids in the outfits and the pictures, and it's going to be a little bit different. But I believe, I don't know, Mike, could you come up with this contraption outside?
That's Annie's idea.
That's Annie's idea, but we don't want to put your name on it, right? Not yet. We'll see the final thing. But it's just shoot. We're going to put the chute inside the car window and shoot candy down to them. So I need to make sure our insurance is good so we don't, when we get sued and break out car windows. No, it won't be like that. But it's going to be kind of a fun way to do it. And everybody in the car gets a bag, and we have some neat little handouts, a little pumpkin Bible marker, and a pumpkin flashlight, candy corn, gospel, and a little Frankenstein poster about the church. It's fun. So I actually watched Frankenstein the Werewolf last night. That was fun. It was actually on TV. That was good. That was a good day. But anyway, that'll be this coming Saturday night, October 31st, Halloween. But we call it our Faith Springs Fall Festival. October 31st, 5:30 to 7:30. And I guess this till 7:30 or till we run out of candy. And I have a feeling with other places not doing trunk or treat, and they may be lined up down the road because there's not that many places to go to this year. So come and be part of that if you want to. And it'll be safely bagged with only a couple people dealing with it. And it's going to be a good time. That'll be Sunday. So it's next Saturday. Any other announcements? Everything's going good back here. Hopefully this tomorrow, the plumber will be here, start putting in toilets. Amen to toilets. Hey, we're going to have indoor plumbing. So those are going to be coming in. The urinals will be placed in. We'll start doing the flooring, hopefully sometime in the middle part of next week, and finish up the bathroom walls. So the bathroom walls are going to have tiles around some of them up about yay high.
We can't hear.
You can't hear? Okay. Yeah, Kurt, why don't you go back and see if you can't just turn me up on the soundboard back there. Maybe that's better because I'm talking. You can hear me fine, right? Okay, they can't hear me on there. Wait, it must be them then. Have California deal with that. Okay. Because I don't want to blow your ears out. Anyway, I think that's most of the announcements that we have. Just be praying for our folks. And I appreciate your support and that everybody that is concerned about what's going on with the church and the building is coming along. We're hoping to have it done by around Thanksgiving. Now, whether that's the parking lot done and all that, you know better than that. But hopefully the constructors and everything will be out around that time. That's kind of what we're shooting for. So keep praying for that. With that thought in mind, if we have the deacons come up or the ushers, whoever wants to come and take up the offering. Oh, we got some good-looking men coming up here. We're going to let you be in charge of that. Philip, get over here. You look so doggone good.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. If you would, bless the offering. And if you would, in the middle of all that, maybe at the beginning of that, just pray for all the people that we mentioned, the knee prayer that's really seriously sick and that close to heaven. And we know where they're all going, but if you could just kind of pray some peace with the family, I'd appreciate it. Thank you, Father.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our God. Father, we thank you that you love us so that you sent your son, Jesus, and you sent him that we that believe would have an eternal place with him. Father, we pray for the sick. We pray for those that are distressed. We pray for those who are without. Lord, we love you and we know you love us. You said in your word, Father, in 1 Peter 5:5, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and to cast all our cares upon him, for he really cares. And we know you care for. We thank you for caring for us. You said in your word in Lamentations 3:22-23, that your mercy never fail and your compassion never cease. They are new every morning. Mm-hmm. Great is thy faithfulness. Father, we know that you are faithful, and we thank you for being a faithful God. And we pray that each and every person here, Father, will give out of their heart that you have put in their heart to give, because you love a cheerful giver. Amen. And we thank you for that, yes. Father. We love you. We thank you for our brothers and sisters here and all over the world. Father, we thank you for family. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 what side of the bed you got up on this morning. If you that didn't get your wick lit, your wick is way too wet. Listen to the words of this, because I think you all are going to know the chorus, so jump in the chorus and sing along with me, because we do the chorus all the time. Listen to the words of the verse, though, because I think that's what's going on in the world right now. I think that's what's happening in the world, what we're talking about. So just see if you can relate to what the verses pertain to. There. Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus thank you.
Amen.
All right. That was like the applause of a golfer that just missed a birdie putt. That's more of a sympathy, but that's okay. It wasn't about my applause. Oh, why am I the only one sweating? We've been talking, because I'm not going to have you turn to Jonah. But that's probably the biggest fisherman story that you can come up with. Right, I was watching Andy yesterday. That shouldn't surprise anybody. But Andy and Opie were out fishing. And Opie just said, you know, Dad, I think you're the best best fisherman in Mayberry. Matter of fact, you're the best fisherman in the state. Matter of fact, Dad, I think you could be the best fisherman in the world. He said, well, I don't know. I'm pretty good. But he said, I just don't know. He said, yeah, I think there may be one other one. And we said, what? He said, the one that caught the fish from the inside out, Jonah. And he talks about Jonah a little bit on there. And that's a pretty good fisher story. That's one of those that maybe Mike or Connie would come up with. But, hey, that fish was, I don't know what it was, but it's somewhere between here and there. You know, my brother was almost a pro fisherman. And Tony used to come home with, before he died, with story after story after story. And you know how fishermen stretch the truth a little bit, you know. And he used to tell me all these fish that he caught. And, oh, no, we put them back. And then after, you know, I always thought he was full-blown. As a matter of fact, that's what I called him, Tony Full-blown. And after he died, his wife gave me about four photo albums that I have underneath my bed right now. And it's page after page after page of Tony with the fish. And the fish are like unbelievable. And so I think sometimes we expand on fishermen stories and we tell stories and we try to elongate a little bit and make it a little bit bigger than what it is. And as a matter of fact, even in his casket lid, we had a largemouth bass embroidered on his casket lid. And when everybody came by for his final goodbyes, everybody put a lure in the lid. So he's up there trying to sell lures probably in heaven if he made it to heaven. But love fishing. He loved fishing. I'm not a big fisherman, but I know we have some in the house. Today, you're going to hear one of the greatest fishing stories probably the Bible has, with the exception of Jonah. So if you would, look into your Bibles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Back one up then and hit Luke, okay? Luke chapter 5. You want to see this in your own Bible. Don't trust me, because I'll probably get it wrong, and I change this sermon 10 times. I don't know why I change it, but I do. Now, I've heard some of the old days stories.
They're all true.
They're all true. You want to give the little missed putt golf clap? I want to set the stage, and then I want to, I think I found some things that actually, after we read this, I want to make sure, is any of the clocks in this building right? Okay. Because that one says I have an hour and 15 minutes. Luke chapter 5. This is Jesus's second miracle. For 500 extra bonus points, what was his first?
Water
to wine. Very good. Okay. This was, you got extra points for that, so feel free to get an extra piece of candy on the way out. Okay. This was prior to Jesus asking anybody to be his disciples. Now, Jesus was in a situation where people were starting to follow him because he was still early in his ministry, and I want you to see Luke chapter 5. Verse 1, and I want you to go through this, and this is actually one that you can take little notes down the side of the margin in your Bible, and maybe hopefully take this, because I like to read this, and then what's this mean to me? Okay, I really want you to take this with you, because we're going to be in this story. I guarantee you, before this is out, you're going, okay, I'm one of the people in this story. Which one are you? Okay, we're just going to look at this. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. If you're there, say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There we go. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake. Now, I don't know how to pronounce that. Genesaret? I'll go for that. With the proud, the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw the water's edge, two boats, but they were left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of their boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to push the boat a little bit out into the water. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Now, you may think this is just maybe prelude to conversation, that nothing really means, this is all free stuff that really don't cost you anything. This is just fluff. But, you know, have you ever thought about why Jesus wanted to get in the boat and go out across the water? Scientifically, if you're in a boat on the water, your voice is amplified. Jesus knew about what he created and knew he would use that natural amplification system. He said, push me out. Not to where, because we always hear stories and see movies, there's so many people that they're going to push him out into the water. Well, Jesus can walk on it, so that's not a big deal for him. That wasn't going to be an issue. That's not the issue. He used his natural creation to be able to expel what he wanted people to hear and the stories that he used. And watch this. So it was better hearing across the water because it amplifies your voice. Jesus was also getting ready to pick four of his disciples in this crowd. And he was planning on using what he was sitting in to be the very illustration so they would be able to understand from their point of view what life was all about, what he was all about. Now keep going, because this gets really good. Luke 5, verse 4, we're going to write it down. When Jesus had finished speaking, Jesus is done. Okay, you with this? You with the story? He's done. He said to Simon, now launch out to the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered. Now I want you to hear this. Maybe I'll illustrate it. I don't know if I can or not. I'm not a good actor, but Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught a thing. Now, I want you to see this because I think you can see the discouragement and hear the discouragement in Simon Peter's voice. You ever felt like that? Have you ever felt that you did everything that you could and you came up with nothing? You ever felt that you studied and studied and studied on that exam and you still failed? You did everything that you possibly could to get the business to overcome the loss and it's still failure. You did everything you could to save a marriage and it's still failure. You're the one that's at the office working harder than everybody else. But you're the one that gets laid off. The fact is here, in this story, everyone in this room, hello, is fishing for something. Every one of you is fishing for something right now. Security, those that are getting ready to retire, your 401k security. Approval, who's asking for that? Yes. Love, significance, respect, a job, more income. There's something that somebody, everybody that's listening online, everybody that's in this room, you're fishing for something. There's something that you are after. I want you to see this, because when you have tried and tried and tried all night and you are absolutely going, Lord, I just can't do no more. Do you not realize I came up empty? I came up empty. I gave and gave and gave, and I didn't get a guppy. Nothing. That was what his response was in the Williams version. I'll expound on it a little bit. The Williams Amplified version of that verse. Lord, we don't have nothing. We're tired. We put 10 hours in. Give me a break. I want you to see what this miracle is all about. This miracle is, what can you do when you come up with nothing in your life? Where can you find your miracle in your life? Is there's good news here, because Jesus sits back and goes, okay, here's your instructions. Are you ready? For everybody that felt that you were fishing for something and you just can't obtain it, you are physically wore out, you can't do anymore, well, listen to his instructions. You'll receive a miracle. You will be blessed more than what you can ever handle. And your life will forever be changed. The fisherman's discouragement was not the end of the story. Luke 5. We'll go 4 again, then we'll jump to 6. We've already done 5, verse 5. And Jesus finished speaking, and he said to Simon Peter, now launch out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. We've just talked about that. Verse 6. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. This isn't a fisher story. This isn't a lie. This isn't exaggeration. So many that their nets begin to break. So they signal their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both of their boats so full that they began to sink. Now that's a fish story. They catch more in 10 minutes by listening to Jesus' instructions than they did with 10 hours of them knowing everything about fish. These four disciples, he's getting ready to call to be disciples, were professional fishermen. They knew every lure, every night crawler, every fiberglass pole to use, every rod. They knew all the stuff. They had all the knowledge, because this was their living. But they came up empty. But when they were just humble enough to listen to what Jesus had in store for them, they came up so full that their boats began to sink. What made the difference between coming up with nothing and having more fish than what you can handle? Could it be that they believed in what Jesus was saying? Could it be that they had the faith? Okay, I'm going to take that step, Lord, that you tell me to take. 4 steps of faith when you're going through difficult times. Number 1, that was all free. That didn't cost you anything. Number 1, verse 3. You have to give Jesus complete access to your life. Jesus says, I want you. And we say, that's fine. You can have me, but do it from a distance. And Jesus says, no, I want to be in the boat with you. You have to give him full access to the boat. Verse 3 there. Jesus got into one of the boats. He got in to one of the boats. That's a starting point. You have to let Jesus into your life. If you don't have him in your life, you're going to sling sweat and you're not going to produce much. You may be very successful, You may have a lot of money, but I guarantee you, if you don't have Jesus, you're not going to have the joy that only he can give you deep inside. So let him inside of your boat. And there's three clarifying questions I want to ask you this morning in this one point. What's your boat? Simon's boat represented his entire livelihood, how he made a living. His boat was his business. What's your boat? What is it? Could it be that's the one thing that you haven't allowed Jesus to come and be a part of? God, I'll give you everything but. I'll give you everything in my life but. He's wanting that one thing that you're hanging on to be able to step inside so a miracle can happen in your life. What is your boat? Two, what does it even mean to have Jesus inside your boat? It means you're completely dedicated to his use. Jesus, you're in charge of it. When you're in my boat, you're in charge of it. When Peter gave his source of support to Jesus, it equaled incredible results. Incredible. Three, have you committed your boat for Jesus to use? Don't miss the sequence. Peter used his boat for Christ's purpose. Then Jesus took care of Peter's needs. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first. Anytime that we seek him second and something else replaces the first, congratulations, you're going to come up empty. But not just maybe money-wise, not just relationship-wise, not just peace-wise, everything-wise. You're missing out what he has for blessings. You're accepting and living and, how can I put it? We're settling for good when God wants great. Say, hey, things are pretty good now, but you haven't put God first? Put God first and see what he does. Put God first. So I want you to see that. Point is, whatever I want God to bless, I must completely give it to him. Notice they didn't need. This is so good. Notice they didn't need to change their boat. Do you notice they didn't need to change their partnership? Notice they didn't need to change their location. Notice they didn't need to change their clothes. The only thing they need to do was give Jesus what they had and say, okay, Jesus, here it is, and let Jesus in. So many times we're afraid, hey, Lord, if I just let you into my life, oh, I'm going to have to give up this, 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 and this. Just give him what you have and let him live in all of that. And he'll deal with that. He may actually even use that business that you don't think he could for him. So that's the first point. Give Jesus complete access. Number two, because I got to go.
What time is it?
Okay. Oh, I'm doing good. Two, admit that everything I'm doing is not working. You ever beat your head against the wall? I beat my head against the wall for 3 years out here. Sometimes it's just not working. And then when you finally go, hey, Lord, it's up to you. You got to do it. I can't do it anymore. He said, about time you let me in. I've been out beating on it, trying to get you in to listen to me. Let's get a verse here just to show you. When Jesus finished speaking in verse 4, put into the water and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon said, Lord, we've worked all night. We haven't caught anything. You know what that is? Write down a little margin of your Bible. That's confession. He just confessed, I can't do it on my own anymore. I have nothing. And believe you me, that had to be humbling because they were pros. They were anglers. They had it figured out. They knew how to fish. They had nothing. That's like Tiger Woods whiffing every other shot on a pro tournament. Whiffing. You ever whiffed? Oh, you throw your back out. Mike, you ever whiffed? We're not going to ask that. I have. You talk about golf like you talk about fish. I have. I've whiffed a lot, especially when it's in the rough and things of that, or you just try and you do something different and you just miss. It'd be like Tiger Woods missing everything. That'd be like LeBron James standing at a free throw line, tie game, literally 0.02 seconds on the clock. He has one free throw shot left to win the game, and he throws it, and it misses completely about 10 foot short. That's what they did. We have nothing. We tried, but we couldn't do it. If they tried so hard, but it doesn't seem to make any difference. I've worked so hard, and I have nothing to show for it. You been there, done that? I guess I'm just talking to myself. I first have to get Jesus in my boat, and then I have to admit to him that I failed. What keeps us from admitting to that? I'll be honest. One, pride. Proverbs 16:18, we think we can handle everything ourselves. Two, stubbornness. Anybody want to raise their hand to that? If you don't, I'll point at you. Okay? We have that stubbornness in us. We're stubborn. I'm going to do that. I've done it this way for the last 20 years. You know, where's Esther at? Esther, she still has a notebook from 30 years that she used to use at Park Place. We'll have a meeting, and she'll pull out this notebook. Where did you get that? That had to be from the 70s. But it worked for me back then. It'll work for me now. You ever been that way? You got things in your own life that you do? Let me tell you what. Church will never be the same because of what we're enduring right now. Never. So if you expect something to work like it did 5 years ago or 30 years ago, congratulations. You're going to be in a boat bringing in zero fish because it's a new day, a new age. And I don't think there's anybody gathered around to listen to Pat Boone sing songs anymore. It's just not going to happen. Things are changing, and COVID's causes is that catalyst of that change, and we need to come up with a different way to bring people to the Lord. Isaiah 43:18, remember not the former. Don't dwell on the past. Behold, I do new things for you. I bring deserts, streams into deserts. I got this on you and for you. And the third thing's fear. People are going to think less of me if I give up control to Jesus. Third thing I got to get through. Third thing. Obey whatever Jesus tells you to do. Listen to his instructions and do it. Be willing to do it, whether it makes sense or not. Did this make sense to any of those fishermen?
No.
Are you kidding? They were going to look back and go, what? Okay, we knew this. We heard about this preacher that was preaching all over town. We heard about all this. He just verified that he's a nut. We've been there, done that. You got to do whatever he says. Look there, look five. Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night, haven't caught anything, but because you say so, let me let down the nets. I will do it. The difference is he is now fishing under the directions of Jesus Christ. Not only is Jesus in the boat, but Jesus is teaching him how to fish. Wow. Notice Peter's reaction. Write these under number three. He didn't argue. He didn't hesitate. He didn't say, I'm a pro, you're an amateur. I'll let you cook it afterwards, but I'm the catch of it. I know how to do this. He didn't do that. He didn't argue with him. He didn't hesitate, didn't listen to his own feelings. I am so dead tired. I don't want to even be here. I want to be home in bed. I've worked all night long. What has God told you to do that we need to answer like Peter? Because you said so, Lord, I'll do it. Because you said so, I'll do it. Notice, disobedience always hurts you. It'll always steal blessings away from you. Note what Jesus told him. He told him when? Launch out now. He told him what? Let down your nets. He told him where? Launch out into the deep water. Because that's where the big fish are. One reason for things coming up empty maybe in your life is because you're still in the shallow end of the pool. You're not in the deep water. You've only let Jesus come up to your ankles, up to your knees. You haven't dove in fully with him. There are so many Christians that are only getting their feet wet. They want Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. Can you just punch my ticket, but don't change my life? Can you just give me the fishing license, but I don't want to go out into the water and get all stinky? We do that as Christians. We have, what, 750 people on our membership rolls. I think we only have like 730 here this morning. Where's the other 20? Where's the other 680? Oh, they wanted to join a church. They wanted to get saved. But to make a difference in my life, no. You got to allow yourself to go out into the deep end. We get so content on living shallow lives. Why? Because it's safer. No big waves are going to rock my boat there. The last thing is I got to go. Make sure I get a 3-minute curve. Number four, expect Jesus to turn things around. If God tells you to go fishing, he comes along with you. He points to where you need to let the nets down. And you won't come up empty, I promise you. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, the one who calls you is completely dependable. If he said it, he will do it. Where God guides, God provides. You know, a lot of people that are looking at me right now, they said, hey, we hope we get this building built here pretty quick. But Greg, I don't know how we're going to pay for it. That's my least concern. Where God guides, he provides. I promise you that. Let's keep going. I got to finish this up. 6 and 7, same chapter, Luke 5. When they had done so, they caught such large number of fish, their nets began to break, and they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came in and filled both boats so that they both got full and started to sink. Then we see Peter's reaction, verse 8 and 9. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, because I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partner. They were more concerned with following the blesser than getting a blessing. You see that? They didn't say, hey, wait, guys, get a whole bunch of more ice. We got to put these fish on ice. You know what? We just got a 3-week salary right here. No, they put it all down and they said, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. I am just a sinner. They immediately had their priorities changed when Jesus was allowed to be in their boat. And the real lesson of the story is right here, because I only got a minute to get there. The real lesson is in verse 10 and 11. Chapter 5 of Luke. Then Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. That's like having the biggest day of profit in a business and then go, I'm out of business. I'm following you, God. Can you imagine? And they did it in a New York minute. Are you tired? Are you discouraged? Feel like it's just not worth the effort anymore? Have you worked all night? You're beating your head against the wall and you've caught nothing and your nets are empty. I want to encourage you that you're never a failure until you give up. God hasn't given up on you. And I promise you that. What it's time to do as we shut her down, it's time to let Jesus in your boat. And it's time to listen to him, what his instructions are once he gets there. Zechariah 4:6. It's not by might nor power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. He will do it for you just like he did it for them in Luke chapter 5. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the lesson. Lord, it's not just a story for us to understand. It's a story for us to apply. Show us how to let others and tell others, invite others to have you get in their boats and get into ours. Lord, if I'm holding back something, take control of it. I want you to be in charge. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Be with us now as we go into this world. They're looking for hope. People need you, Lord, in a powerful way. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for joining us online. Be right here next week, 10 o'clock Central in the morning, and we will see you for another edition of Faith Springs Live. Thank you all for coming. God bless you.